Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul and Barnabas' missionary journey, as we pick up in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul the Apostle, as he is writing to Timothy concerning those gifts that have become dormant in his life, he told him to stir up the gifts that are in you that were given to you at the time that hands were laid upon you and the word of prophecy was given. So in the early church, they did have a practice of laying hands on people, praying for them, and oftentimes a word of prophecy would come as a guide or as a direction for that person. And so this gift was exercised in the early church, the gift of prophecy, and no doubt the Holy Spirit, through this prophetic type of gift, speaking forth the word of God, said, "Separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work where I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. Now in verse 3 we have, they fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, and sent them away. But the next verse tells us that it was actually the Holy Spirit that sent them forth. They departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, Antioch is about 15 miles up the Orontes River from the coast. And so they came down to the coast, the 15 miles to Seleucia, got a boat, and headed off for Cyprus on the first missionary journey. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John Mark as their servant. He was a young man, and he had gone along to just take care of a lot of the menial things that needed taking care of as a servant to Paul and Barnabas. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they had gone actually pretty much the length of the island of Cyprus, they found a certain sorcerer. Paphos was, of course, the capital of Cyprus at that time. There was a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, who was a prudent man. Sergius Paulus was the governor over the island of Cyprus. The people in that day were very superstitious kind of people, and most of the rulers had their own wizards who they would seek counsel from. It sort of troubled me when Jean Dixon wrote her book, A Gift of Prophecy, how she spoke about how many presidents called her for advice. So really, we haven't changed too much through the years. The leaders would often look to these people who supposedly had these particular gifts, psychic type persons, and look to them for advice and counsel. And in those days, each of the leaders had their own psychics or wizards that they used as advisors. And so this Bar-Jesus was the wizard or the advisor of Sergius Paulus, the governor of Cyprus. But Sergius Paulus called for Barnabas and Saul, for he desired to hear the word of God. But Elimas, the sorcerer, for that's his name by interpretation, Bar-Jesus interprets into Elimas, withstood them, seeking to turn the deputy away from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, Saul is his Hebrew name, Paul is his Greek name, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. And he said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Interesting, isn't it? Don't you wish sometimes you had that kind of power? I'm afraid we'd make a mess out of things. But there have been some people that I like to stand up against as Paul. I like to say, "Madeline Murray O'Hare, how long are you going to pervert the ways of God? You child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness." Now the deputy, Sergius Paulus, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and there John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. Why John Mark departed is not told. It did upset Paul. He got very upset that John Mark would leave. Insomuch that when they started out on the second missionary journey, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark again, Paul said, "No way, I don't want him to go." And the contention between Paul and Barnabas became so great over Mark that Barnabas took Mark and took off towards Cyprus again, and Paul got Silas and he headed out in another direction towards Asia Minor, and it brought a separation between Paul and Barnabas, the issue over Mark, because Paul was still upset that Mark had left them here in Pamphylia. However, whatever breach did exist for a time was healed, and Paul later on writes concerning Mark, and he says, "Please send Mark with me and have him bring the parchments. He's been a great comfort and a help to me." So whatever problems existed were ultimately dissolved, and there was a beautiful relationship developed between Paul and Mark in years to come. Now, they did not preach in the area of Pamphylia. The area of Pamphylia was the coastal plains. The reason why they did not preach there is because Paul became quite ill at this point. The coastal plains around Pamphylia were filled with malaria fever. And it is thought by many that Paul got a good case of malaria fever. And thus they did not stay in the coastal area of Pamphylia, but they headed on up into the high plateau region around the area of Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, and those areas up in the higher plateau regions, about 3,600 feet elevation, in order that he might recuperate from the malaria fever that he picked up there on the coast. Later on, when Paul wrote to these churches of Iconium and like Antioch of Pisidia and all, in a letter known as the Epistle to the Galatians, for this whole area was known as Galatia. When he wrote his Galatian epistle, he said, "You remember how sick I was when I was there with you." And how out of my sickness I was declaring to you the truths of God and all. And he made reference to his great sickness that he had when he was with them there at Galatia. So because of this, they believe that he probably got malaria fever. And that particular strain of malaria fever caused a person to have extremely severe headaches. In fact, one man described it as though there was a sword being thrust through your temples. The headache that accompanied this particular strain of malaria fever and caused just a tremendous pressure on the eyes even. And you remember Paul said to the Galatians, I testify how that you would have even given your own eyes for me. That's how much you loved me when I was with you. What's caused this love to wane and all? So they did not stay in the coastal regions, but headed on up into the highlands, the plateau area of Pisidia, coming unto Antioch. So they departed from Perga. They came to Antioch in Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, and of course, the synagogues, they have each Sabbath day, they read a portion out of the law, and they read a portion out of the prophets. And even to the present day, they follow the little ritual, and they read both out of the law and the prophets every Sabbath day. And you can actually tell what Sabbath day it was in the year from where they were reading, because they continue the same reading patterns today. And so after they had read from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogues sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, speak up. So Paul stood up, and he beckoned with his hand, and he said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God. Because there were not only the Jews that were there, but there were the Gentiles who had proselyted into the Jewish faith. Ye that fear God, give me an audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years, he suffered their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges for the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul the son of Cush, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now, Paul is just rehearsing for them briefly their history. God was with your fathers and delivered them by miracles out of the bondage of Egypt. After putting up with them for 40 years in the wilderness, he brought them into the land that he had promised to give to them. And then he established judges over them who ruled over them for about 450 years, until the time of Samuel the prophet, when the people asked that they might have a king, that they might be like other nations. Up until this point, Israel had been a theocracy, a people ruled by God. But they were no longer satisfied with the theocracy, and the saddest day in the history of the nation of Israel is when the people requested to go from a theocracy to a monarchy, that they might be like the nations around them. We don't want God to rule over us, we want a king to rule over us. And we remember the tragic story in 1 Samuel of the request of the people that they might have a king like the other nations. Samuel, of course, was deeply disappointed over this. But God said, Samuel, don't be so disappointed. They have not rejected you, they have rejected me from ruling over them. And so, God had Samuel anoint Saul, the son of Kish, to be the first king over Israel, and he reigned for about 40 years. Near the end of his reign, Samuel was now an elderly man, could hardly see. But the word of the Lord came to Samuel to go unto Saul and to tell him to go down and to utterly exterminate the Amalekites. Kill all of the animals. Kill everything. Don't let anything remain alive. And so Saul went down against the Amalekites, and the Lord delivered the Amalekites into the hands of Saul. But when he saw the healthy, strong cattle and sheep, he decided not to destroy them, though he did utterly hack in pieces all of the sickly animals. But he saved the healthier animals alive, and he brought them back along with King Agag. And Samuel came out to meet him. And Saul said, as the Lord liveth, I have done all that the Lord commanded me to do. As the Lord liveth was a religious, part of the religious jargon of that day. It's much like the religious jargon today. We say, oh, praise the Lord, or bless God. It's just religious jargon. It can be meaningful and it can be meaningless. There are a lot of people who use religious jargon. There's one Arab boy in Israel who is a vendor on the streets. And these vendors in the streets of Jerusalem become extremely sharp. They know you're from California the minute you come walking up. You're from California, brother. Praise God, brother. Oh, praise the Lord, brother. Bless God. From California, aren't you? And he goes on with the praise God, bless God bit, and four camels for a dollar, you know. But he is really a very avowed Muslim. And I've tangled with this kid a few times. He gets real upset with me. In fact, he remembers me, and he usually turns and goes when he sees me now. But we've had some real times of disputing concerning the truth of Jesus Christ. And yet, I see him, you know, going up to these groups and praise the Lord, bless God, hallelujah. But it's only to sell his wares. It's good to use these terms if we use them sincerely. But we have to be careful that they don't become just a manner of speech and meaningless. Now, this phrase, as the Lord liveth, was a spiritual jargon. You want to impress somebody, how spiritual you are, you say, as the Lord liveth, brother. And so Saul was using the spiritual jargon. As the Lord liveth, I've done everything God commanded me. And Samuel said, if you've done everything God commanded you, how come I hear the sheep and I hear the cattle? Oh, he said, you know, they were so healthy and strong and good looking. We decided we would bring them back and sacrifice them to God. And it was then Samuel said, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Do you not realize that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft? And because you have rejected God from ruling over you, God has rejected you from ruling over his people. And God is going to seek for a man after his own heart, who will do his will. That seems to be the case throughout history. God is always seeking for a man after his own heart who will do his will. Too many times we have self at the center of our lives, as did Saul. And because self is at the center of our lives, we're interested and more interested in doing our will than we are doing God's will, and we often rebel against the will of God. When it comes to a choice, my will or God's will, too often we take our will over God's. So God was seeking for a man after his own heart. During the time of Ezekiel, he declares, "And God sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap, who would fill in the hedge, but he found none." How tragic. God searching for a man after his own heart who would do his will. In the time of Ezekiel, he could not find any. But not so at this period of history. God found one, even David. And so Paul declares, "And God found David, a man after his own heart, who would do his will." Not a man who is perfect. God can't find him. He doesn't exist. But a man who will put God at the center of his life, and when the issue arises and the showdown comes, the man will choose the will of God over his own. A man who will do God's will is the man after God's heart.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 13. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May He watch over your lives and keep you in His love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you His perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God and His love. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Pastor Chuck Smith's Most Requested, is an MP3 collection that contains 12 Bible study messages by Pastor Chuck, all popular favorites and often requested by his listeners. These messages were selected from thousands of studies that were recorded live at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. This series will strengthen and inspire you to diligently study the Word of God and apply it to your life. You can order this MP3 set at TWFT.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.